Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Sierra Coolidge, silent, oops, not silent, Phil, ones and ones and twos. It's the uber-talented Kareem Elgazar on our ones and twos today. Silent Phil, we hope you are enjoying your much-needed vacation as he has just put our Hughes podcast to bed, and that is out now. And so we'll look forward to having Phil back next week.
All three of us are sitting here knowing that we will bother Phil today.
Sherry, our special guest, you booked him, great get, is former Bengals great Icky Woods.
I fell down a rabbit hole of YouTube videos of Icky Woods last night. It was so fun.
I sent you that Geico commercial.
The Geico commercial, but just him doing the Icky Shuffle and other people doing the Icky Shuffle. I mean, it was that big of a deal that it was mimicked and it took over this town by storm. And I wasn't here then, and I just can't even imagine. Like, it was just a little bit of Hollywood. I can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah, looking forward to having Icky on. But first, our political and government segment of the show, and certainly a serious issue that's happening that you wrote about on Cincinnati.com, currently on our site right now, and that is a police recruit was injured in training and is hospitalized, and not a good situation. Sherry, what is going on?
So first of all, a police recruit was injured on January 19th, but I don't want to call him a police recruit. His name is Johnny Brown. Hmm. And for a week, everyone is like, a police recruit, you know, had a medical emergency at some training. And I didn't write that story. I kind of caught out of the corner of my eye. It did make me think, what happened? That doesn't happen all the time. And I was, you know, I went to Nashville. But I got back and I really was thinking, what's going on? And you know what? So was somebody who knows what happened, possibly saw what happened. Myself and Cameron Knight got an anonymous tip. Every once in a while, people set up emails that you really can't trace and send in tips. And also feel free to do that if you have tips for us. And even if you send it from your own email, those tips are private. We don't say so-and-so emailed us. I treat that all very seriously. But it said, you know, this training, they felt like it went a little bit above and beyond, and it made Cameron and I want to know what happened. And we really put together a story of what was happening. It's this police recruit class, they're graduating on February 5th. They're almost done with training. And they do a very serious training at the end, and it's called red manning, in which they are really put to the test like they would be on the streets, and having to deal with a combative suspect. And this is a very real training, a very important training. And the question at hand is, was the training done correctly? And just, you know, the city had been very mum on it. They hadn't said anything. And, you know, something that went through my head when I was thinking about all of this is the collaborative agreement calls for serious incidents with the police department to be transparent and tell people what's going on. And I was like, that doesn't mean if the citizen gets hurt. It means if something with our police officers, like whatever happened there, like these police officers are policing our streets. The public has a right to know what's going on with their training. That's a very big issue nationally. So Cameron and I, we dived right in yesterday. I encourage people to read the story. We don't have all the answers. We were promised more answers today. But it was almost like the city really wasn't ready for us to call up and ask some questions about it. And I was like, people want to know what's happening here.
Yes. And that was that's my question as a journalist, a reader, reading your story, talking with you is it just seemed like they had the law and public safety meeting yesterday. As we record here on Wednesday, that meeting was on Tuesday. Your story breaks Tuesday. You'd been working on it, and no mention of this in at all. And the chief went before the law and public safety council's law and public safety.
And I really feel like it is because it was just kind of like, oh, a police recruit got hurt. When it's like, no, a person who said to themselves, Johnny Brown, and he's a former Marine with a family here in Cincinnati. And he said, I want to be, his mother told me, I want to be on the right side of the law. And he wants to protect and serve citizens. This person said that to themselves, and they went and applied to what is the most serious job right now. You know, we've had very serious discussions on this podcast about it. Your brother's a police officer. Yep. You know how dangerous and scary it is, but we need our law enforcement officers. They are serving and protecting us, and this person was doing this for this community, and I really am hoping that people kind of see that, and this is very valuable about what's happening here. He cared about us, so I feel like we need to care about him.
That's the perfect way to put it. And, just great reporting, Sherry. And I know that you will be in Cam Knight. You guys will be really digging deep on this and looking into what has happened here. Will training, what is going on with training? Will training need to be changed? Who is responsible, if anyone, for this?
And I'm not saying that I have the answers to that. I'm not being critical of it. I'm just saying we have to ask the questions and we have to tell people what's going on. This, you know, we have a new administration. I don't know if our listeners know that or anything. We have a new mayor and interim city manager. Honestly, it was the interim city manager, John Kerb's first day that this happened. But what's the key? What do we harp on? What do we say? Transparency. It doesn't mean they did anything wrong. It just means tell people what happened.
Exactly. And you bring up talking about, you know, the leaders of the city. And how do I say this? Like, I'm not asking for your opinion. Like, but I think it's pretty obvious we've gotten – there's been no response from the politicians at City Hall on this yet. We're seeing a lot of and rightfully, and I understand, you know, and I know that things are separate, and you know, but we're seeing a lot of you know, press conference-y, social media fun stuff of, you know, passing footballs around and posting about climate change and talking about bike lanes and all that stuff, but. Okay, you know, that's all campaigny and fun and all that, but this is real. This is the job now, and this is a tough situation.
Johnny Brown.
Yes. And so far, and again, it's still early. I'm trying not to be critical, but you're also like, hey, this is your job as an elected official to get to the bottom of this. Show concern, be concerned, not show it, be concerned for Johnny Brown, for the police department, for and addressing this, getting to the bottom of it, what happened, where and what needs to change, if anything. That's the job. And so far, we're not seeing anything, at least publicly, from the elected officials of addressing this. Am I factually correct on that?
Even after the story ran last night and was published on Cincinnati.com, I was surprised. I didn't hear anything.
Well, we'll continue to keep up with your coverage on that on Cincinnati.com, at Sharon Coolidge on Twitter, and Cam Knight, our police reporter as well. Sherry, obviously, as you well know, is our City Hall reporter and has all over City Hall and the news and this is a story, folks, and keep up with it, and keep tracking it on Cincinnati.com. Let's jump over. I know this is a weird segue from this topic, but to jump over and bring on our special guest this week. Looking forward to having him, Icky Woods. All right, special guest time here on the That's With Cincinnati podcast, and very pleased to welcome, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Icky Woods. Icky, how you doing?
Who day, baby? Who day? I'm doing wonderful, man. Got that who day rolling. What's going on?
That is how we should all...
We're all rolling, huh?
Well, that's how we should all be greeting each other at all times right now.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Those boys are down there getting it done. Very, very, very proud and very happy of this team, the way they fighting this year, the way they getting things done, and they are tomorrow. Why not us? And I understand that, nobody's giving them a shot, and they're surprising a lot of people this year, even myself.
Icky, when you know... This season they're having, what is it like for you? I know there's, you know, it's, you know, 33 years since the Super Bowl, but has your life become like you become more in the spotlight? Obviously, we're interviewing you here. You hear a lot more about the former players, the players that played back in the great years. What's life like for you?
It's bringing it back to the light. You know, I've getting a lot of calls for interviews and want my thoughts on how things are going, how I perceive this team, what, you know, want me to kind of, you know, talk about this team and compare this team to the team that I played on. And it's just great to, you know, have the city alive again, man. It's been a long wait for us, man. And it's about time. And these guys, they got there now, man, are doing a great job. You know, the kid, Joe Burrows, is just very unbelievable, man. This guy just has that it factor. Man, he's just unbelievable, man, just how cool and calm this guy is under fire, under pressure. You know, very rarely you get sacked 9 times and win a ball game, especially a divisional playoff game. So this guy is cool, under pressure, don't let nothing rattle him, and it's just fun to watch.
So I'm going to leave all of the comparisons to this team, to the previous team, to our Bengals experts, reporters here. But because you were so much in the spotlight and really still are and never really went away, can you compare the mood now to the mood then? Is there a difference? What is the difference?
Well, it's not a big difference. There's, you know, the only difference I can say is that we played all our playoff games at home. You know, other than that, you know, the mood is great. Everybody's, you know, loving what they're doing. Everybody's into it. You know, it's a Bengals city again. Everybody's happy with what we got. You know, I don't think anybody had any idea what these guys were going to do this year. You know, we were just kind of holding on by a thread, and you know, they started winning some ball games, and then they had a little lapse there in the middle of the season, and they start winning again, and then they had a fall down towards the end. They lost a big game to the Chargers that I think they should have won, and the 49ers a game that they should have won, and you know, and just happened. You know, I think that game went in the OT and the 49ers got the ball and drove down on us and scored a touchdown. And, you know, and that gave that game away. So, but man, it's been a roller coaster ride. But when it counted and when they needed to buckle down and beat, you know, the number one seed at that time in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs at home to win the AFC North Division, when they've done that and beat Kansas City, I knew we had something special.
So because you have this larger-than-life personality, this swagger, your own way of doing things, how important is it that, because we're kind of watching Joe Mixon, Joe Burrow, they have that, this confidence. Do you see that in them, and how important is that?
Well, it's very important. You know, anything that you do, you want to have confidence that you can get it done no matter what, no matter what the obstacle is, no matter what you face. You know, you worked hard, you trained hard. You know, this is what you train for. You train for moments like this. You train for moments to go out and show everybody your talent and show everybody what you already knew, you know, that you're a great talent And, you know, so now I have to go out here and show you guys and prove it. And those guys have been doing that, you know, they've been doing that since day one. But, you know, when Joe got here, the offensive line wasn't that great. But I think we're going to have to kind of shore that up next year, because if we can get him a little more time and not be having to pick him up off the ground, man, he could do unbelievable things.
Have you? I saw where you were at a game recently, a social media post. And do you get to a lot of games typically since your playing career was over?
Well, I'm at all the home games.
You are? Okay.
I'm at all the Bengals home games, because I run a couple of concession stands down there to raise money for my son's foundation. I lost my son to asthma 10 years ago and started a foundation in his name called the Javonte Woods Foundation. So I'm at all the Bengals home games, and I make a few away games as well.
And Javonte, for folks who may, he passed because of the asthma emergency, was a football player at Princeton, like his dad. And you've got and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to give a plug to the organization, Javonte Woods Foundation.org, I believe, is the website. Is that correct, Icky?
Yeah. And that's spelled Javante Woods Foundation.org. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
I have to imagine you're working, like running a concession stand is no easy task. I have to imagine you're pretty busy when you're down there. So do you like watch?
Yeah, I am. I have other people in the concession stand, and I'm out mingling with the fans and everything. So
okay.
I'm in and out of the concession stand, but I'm still going around mingling and, you know, being a Bengal fan and having fun with the fans and just having a great time, especially this year, you know, especially this year since the guys have been doing what they're supposed to do and winning ball games.
And, you know, Icky, I'm glad you brought that up, the fact that you're still around the team and the organization, and you still talk so glowingly about it. And I know that, you know, hey, there's we asked Tim McGee last week about this, and, you know, there are some – former players who have you know, it's not been a good relationship, but it's great to hear that, you know, your relationship with the franchise, it sounds to me like, has been really fantastic since your playing days ended.
Yes, it hadn't been the greatest, but it's been okay. You know, they're trying to get better at that. You know, I wish they would, you know, reach out more to the former guys. You know, they're trying to do that, but you're right that it hadn't been the greatest for a few of the guys, but they've been good to me, so I can't complain.
I don't know how we transition into this, but, you know, in 2014, I believe it was, you resurfaced on a national level in a Geico commercial, and, you know, you're what, two plus decades removed from your playing days and the Icky shuffle. And I know you've probably been asked about this a million times, but for our listeners, you know, get your cold cuts, the Icky shuffle on a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
How did all that come about? How in the world did the Icky shuffle come up in 2014? Or I'm sure you guys shot that a little earlier than that, but how did Icky Woods end up on a national commercial?
I was just commercial? Sitting at home, and they called me up, and somebody from the Bengals office called me up and said somebody was looking for me and wanted to know if I was interested in doing a commercial. And I said, well, yeah, give them my number. And they called me, and I said, wanted to know what the premise of the commercial was. And they said, well, right now we don't know, but we know we want to use the shuffle. You know, are you open to that? And I said, well, yeah, I'm open to it. So we put the numbers together. Everything went good. And then when I finally flew me out to L.A., Beverly Hills, to shoot the commercial. It was a grocery store commercial, and then they did three scenes. They had the grocery store, and then they had another one where I'm sitting in the living room playing Yahtzee with this young lady, and I roll a dice and yell Yahtzee and get up and start doing the shuffle, and then they did another one outside where I was watering the grass. The paper boy comes by and throws the paper, and I catch the paper and say I still got it and break off into a shuffle. But they chose the grocery store one, which was good, you know, because most people could relate to that. And, you know, I was known as the cold cut guy by the younger generation. The older people knew me from the shuffle, but the newer generation knew me as the Mr. Cold Cuts.
I would have chosen the newspaper one because when the Coolidges get the newspaper in the morning, I feel like I kind of do an icky shuffle.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
I mean, we're going on, a decade almost since that commercial. And do you still get people come up to you and say, it's the Cold Cuts guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they want a number 44.
That's right.
Number 44. And they just break out laughing. They go, oh, this guy is funny. It's good, man. I enjoy it. I worked hard to get this notoriety. So, yeah. You know, I'm not going to push people away.
Have you had other ways of monetizing, for lack of a better term, for making money off of the Icky Shuffle in your post-playing careers? Have there been other opportunities
I do it a lot to raise money for my son's foundation.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I'm, you know, if someone wants me to do an autograph session or something like that, I have them make a donation to the foundation.
And you do the shuffle for them too?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One last question. I know time is tight, but CJ Uzomah scores a touchdown in that first playoff game. Gives a tribute to you, does the Icky Shuffle for his TD dance. Did you get
my
to
guy.
See? Well, you were at the game, but did you get to
I
see
was.
It? Did you get to see it? Him do
oh,
it,
yeah,
and
yeah,
if you
yeah,
did, what
I
were
got
your
to
thoughts?
See it, and then he threw the gritty on the back end of it, which was cool. You know, I really enjoyed that, man. I was around a bunch of people, and they were like, "Man, look at him do your shuffle." I said, "Oh yeah, he's doing a good job of it too. Thank you, brother." And I just you know, thanked him, you know, because he got me in probably a million homes that night because it was probably on SportsCenter and all that.
Is he the first player to do it since you retired?
No, I think Nick done it, and then Jeremy Hill done it one time.
Okay. I wonder if Chad had done it too. There were all those dances he did, so.
Well, I have to say, it'll be fun to watch somebody do it in the Super Bowl. I can't wait.
I sure hope so. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Icky, thanks. Unless Sherry, do you have?
No, we're good. We're good. Thank you.
Great stuff, Icky. And
hey,
man, I know
fun.
You're reveling in this and you're enjoying it. And I'm glad that you are. I'm glad to hear your good spirits. And just again, folks, if you want to, support Icky Woods' foundation, Javonte Woods, in honor of his son, JavonteWoodsFoundation.org. And Icky, wish you all the best. And, and all the best as you enjoy these playoffs.
All right. Thank you, my man. We appreciate it.
Thanks again to Icky Woods, and as he says, don't forget to get your cold cuts, folks. And this transitioned us into our That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. And Sherry, we both kind of have it here. I want to say that the moment of the week is the moment, and that's the Bengals.
Absolutely.
And share with us, you were at the game, You were witnessing history in person last week in Nashville. You were there. You told us on the air or on our podcast last week that you were going to be there. The first ever road playoff victory for the Cincinnati Bengals. You were there. Now you can tell your friends and family for the rest of your life that you were there.
I can, but my favorite part was it just reminding me of how Cincinnati – is one. Like, and I thought about writing a story about it, but we talked about it at the beginning. I was going to write an essay. I don't do that enough. I actually became a journalist because I like to write. but I do more asking questions than writing. So I didn't end up writing something. But, you know, the feeling in that stadium, in the city, you feel it. We're one. We're together. We're hopeful. And that's the Cincinnati that we sometimes forget who we are, But that is who we are. And I loved every minute of it. I have to tell you, like, at the end, I mean, everyone was holding their breath. It was, you know, you're panicking. You're like, oh, my God. I mean, people were crying when those final points came in. It was that incredible. And, you know, I will say this. A lot was said that the Bengals are going to go and we're going to – the city, we're going to go, we're going to take over, you know, the Tennessee and the Titans stadium. There was a lot of Titans fans there. We were definitely in the minority. The Titans fans were so polite, though. But at the end, the Bengals fans stayed. And everybody kind of congregated in one area of the stadium where they thought the players might come out and everything. And you were just, you're with strangers who were your friends.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed your social media posts from there and just taking in the sights and sounds of Nashville and the historic weekend for Cincinnati or in Nashville. And you know, as you know, we're in journalism. You root for the story, and certainly you know, going to the AFC champ. My mentality on this is like, and again, I'm not a Bengals fan. I wrote today a column about how I've not been an NFL fan, but hey, I'm enjoying the moment, and I mentioned you in the column, and you've been a huge help in really encouraging me to just enjoy the moment more, enjoy the now, as I said in the column. And that's been hard for me through my life, but you know, you have these little snippets, and the pandemic has really opened my eyes to this, and you've been really encouraging to me. And so you have these moments that have happened where I'm like, just enjoy it, and you know, enjoy that even little simple moment of my kids and my wife all coming into the living room last week, and it's like all of a sudden I'm watching a Bengals game with them for the first time ever. And I know that just sounds like kind of hokey, but
your sons are becoming Bengals fans, and I'm watching my son become a Bengals fan. It's cold outside, and I'm like, where's the Bengals beanie? I just had it out.
That's right.
And Jack wore it to school today.
And to think,
like, he, like, all the stuff, it's gone because he took it, he wore it to school. And I mean, so we're watching, and that's what having an NFL team is. You know, we've been through some years, a lot of hardship. And some people are like, oh, fair weather fans or whatever. But we're here now. We can all get back on board. If you had felt like you were betrayed maybe for a little bit, we are all together, and we're doing this, and we're growing new Bengals fans right now.
That's exactly what you said. What I was going to say is that there's a whole new generation of fans being grown here, being cultivated. Do you think about, well, how old's Jack? 13?
Yes.
You know, Jack's 13. My sons are 9 and 5. And you think in 1992 and 93, and when this whole thing started, the 13 and 9 and 5 year olds, then they grew up with the Bengals being terrible and inept.
Yeah.
And now these guys are like,
of course, there's a generation that grew up with Icky.
That was a generation
and
grew up with Icky.
And can do the Icky shuffle.
Right.
And can do the Icky shuffle. My dad dropped off a Joe Burrow jersey, one of those expensive ones, for Jack. I was like, that's a little much.
But that's what
grandpas
are for.
Do. That's right. He has not taken it off. I was like, I do have to wash it.
It sounds like me during the pandemic, wearing shirts 3 days in a row. 4, 5. Anyway, thanks.
All right, follow our coverage this weekend.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to the game. It's a little bit more expensive this weekend. You can't pick up and leave and gallivant every weekend, apparently. But we're sending just a great team there. Follow along. I will be.
Yes, we have the absolute best Bengals coverage, most in-depth, most people covering it. We have our beat writer, Kelsey Conway, Doc, as you all know, Charlie Goldsmith, one of our reporters. We have our talented photo and video team of Kareem Elgazar, Albert Caesar, I think that's our team that's going, and delivered just fantastic coverage last week and through the playoffs, and expect that more. I say it a lot, but this is one of those moments where, hey, a lot of premium content, because we're the only ones doing this and doing it in this way, and so encourage you to get those subscriptions, those digital subscriptions. I just checked it yesterday. It's like $1 for 3 months. So cincinnati.com/subscribe. All access to all your Bengals coverage, to all of our news coverage as well, to all of our coverage, to all everything we write about Keith Pandolfi on food and so much more. Make sure you're just encourage you to give us a shot. And you've given us a shot here on this podcast. Thanks for your support. We will catch you next week.